Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 through 8. "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth, or blasphemes, or curses God. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he saith to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And it says that he arose and departed to his own house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." And again, we're in our series, Fulfilled and Astonished, and this is part 11. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us today, so that we too might marvel and glorify God. Lord, we believe that there's nothing too hard for you, and whatever needs the radio audience might have, please meet those needs, for truly nothing is impossible with thee. And Lord, we give Jesus Christ all the credit, all the glory, and we worship him, Lord. And in that wonderful name of Christ, amen. Jesus uses logic here. He claims to be able to forgive sins. The scribes, they had evil in their hearts, it said. They had doubt. They had accusation in their hearts. They refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They said he couldn't be the Son of God. He couldn't be from God at all. He blasphemes. He speaks presumptuously. And of course, none of these accusations were true. But the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, at one point it talks about the lawyers. Religious law, not secular law. But it mentions all of these leaders, the ones that eventually condemned him to be crucified. They all non-stop accused and doubted and tried to persuade the people to leave Christ and not listen to him, etc. And I've mentioned some of the motives before. They had a place in Israel. They had a place in the religious world, in the government, what have you. And they were afraid that their apple cart was about to be upset permanently. They wanted to stay in power. And again, I can explore the motives, but we see it today. We see it in church sometimes, at work, in government. There's always someone that's either in power, wants to stay there, or tries to get into power, and they'll do whatever they can. They'll slander, they'll whatever. And we see our TV and we say, huh. But we can read scripture, and this passage was written about 2,000 years ago. Back then, the same fights we see on our TV, they had back then. Different issues, what have you, but the same idea. And as you read the Gospels, you'll find again and again and again that the Pharisees accused him or tried to trip him up or what have you. But again, Jesus uses logic. He claims to be able to forgive sins, and in fact, he did forgive that man's sins. He's God, he can do what he wants. But he claims to be able to forgive sins, and he's called on it. And he says, oh yeah? Watch this. Then he points to the man or whatever and says, get up. Take up your bed or your cot or whatever that thing is. Pick it up and go on home. And again, this is something that he's done again and again and again. And again, we see this method of healing or instructions or what have you several times in the gospel. Hey, take up your bed and go home. Take up your bed and walk, what have you. Again, he uses logic to refute the accusations of the scribes. He claims to be able to forgive sins, and then he performs a miracle that only God can do. That only God can do. Thus proving his first claim. But again, throughout the Gospels, as you read, pick one, pick the other, as you read, in the beginning he ignores the accusations, he ignores the taunts, he ignores, but then he begins to answer them, and then later, throughout his ministry, his protestations get stronger. And at one point, he said that the Pharisees were blind guides and of their father, the devil. But being able to answer his critics or his attackers or accusers or whatever, every time he wins. Every time there's a conflict, Jesus wins. But let's look at verse 2. It says, and behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, which I'm not quite sure what palsy is. Some have said it's this disease or that disease, but whatever it was, it's a modern disease that we have today. And he couldn't walk. But look at what it says. It says, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. He was in a place, there are other tellings of this story, or one just like it, where he was in the synagogue. But wherever he was, there was this guy, couldn't walk, laying on a bed or a couch or whatever the case, cot, whatever. But wherever he was, the people knew Jesus. They knew about him. They knew that he was the healer, the miracle worker. They perhaps witnessed healings. They had certainly heard of the miracles. But it says that the people had faith in Christ. And we're just told this little part of the story. We don't know if it was in a synagogue or whatever. We don't know what happened leading up to this point. Maybe everybody knew the guy. Maybe everybody talked to him or threw him a quarter or whatever the case. We don't know the interaction, but we get a clue. We get a small clue that Jesus knew that the people in the room or the marketplace or wherever he was had faith in Christ. And again, we get a little clue that they had some faith that this man could be healed. And again, all of this is supposition and conjecture. I don't know what happened leading up to verse 2. But however it happened, Jesus saw their faith. And then he said, okay, hey dude, your sins are forgiven. And later on, arise and walk. He performs this miracle in response to the faith of the people that were in attendance. And then verse 8, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled, or were astonished, I guess. And they glorified God, which had given such power unto men. But today, I want to preach on faith. And again, I'm taking that topic from verse 2. When Jesus saw the faith of the crowd. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I want to preach on faith, but God rewards those that diligently seek him. If you go to church on Sunday, glad you go. But if that's your only interaction with God, I'm sorry to hear it. The more time and thought and effort that you put into your relationship with God, the more you'll know about the Lord, the closer you'll be to him, and he will reveal things to you from the Bible that you didn't know existed. He'll fill your heart with faith. He'll comfort you. You'll learn how to pray, and prayers will be answered. The closer you walk to the Lord, the closer he will walk to you, which is a paraphrase of a verse, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you go to church because mama makes you, or out of guilt, or what have you, whatever reason, you probably won't get much out of it. You have to believe God. If you want to please God, well, who wants to please God? Well, if you want to please your parents, you do what they say, right? You mind them, you listen to them. Well, we have a heavenly Father. Let's try to please him. Let's try to do what he says. How do you know what God says? How do you know what God wants? Pick up a Bible and read it. Find a church where the pastor picks his up and reads it and has something to say from the Bible, and you can know what God says You can know what God wants and expects of you. And if you walk in faith, you can please God. You got to believe that He is. You got to believe that God exists. If it's just a church game, a religious game, well, then you don't believe He exists. You're not going to get very much out of it. You got to believe that He is, and you have to believe that He rewards those that seek after Him. We have this expression, to seek God. Well, God's in heaven. He's not lost. We're the ones that are lost. We need a map. If we're in the woods or in the swamp or whatever, it'd be nice to have some kind of a map. Maybe a GPS on your phone or something. Hey, how do I get back? We're the ones that are lost from a spiritual sense. We have to seek God. We have to learn about God. We have to study about God. We have to seek Him. We have to spend time in prayer, what have you. We have to seek Him. But if you seek God, the verse says He'll be found of you. And again, we ought to diligently seek Him. But our text talks about this man being healed. And there are some today, there are some churches here in town that say, well, God doesn't heal today. Well, yes, He does. Yes, He does. Some will say that they're scared of faith healers. Well, so am I. I am certainly not a faith healer. I am afraid of faith healing. And by that I mean the man. William Branham, about 100 years ago, or almost, was one of the first faith healers. Oral Roberts, in his early days, was a faith healer. Today we have Benny Hinn and others, I suppose. The emphasis, when we're talking about faith healers, the emphasis, the attention, the focus is on the faith healer himself. But you know my manner, you know my message. The message here on this radio program is always, hey, let's look at Jesus. So if you're afraid of faith healers and faith healing churches or whatever, so am I, brother, so am I. Let the emphasis be on Christ, and let the faith be in you. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, or powerless in his feet, couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. And it says that he was a cripple from his mother's womb. He had never walked. Maybe he was bow-legged or pigeon-toed or I don't know. But he couldn't walk. The same, or that man, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, or Paul looking and watching the man, and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, but with a loud voice to get the man's attention and the attention of those in the room, stand upright on thy feet. And he leapt and walked. The man of God perceived that this guy, way in the back, crippled in his wheelchair or whatever the case, he was paying attention to the message or the lesson or what have you. He believed the Lord. He believed the gospel. And as the preaching continued, Paul kept watching. And he saw his face and he saw his countenance and his body language or what have you. And also probably through a word of knowledge. He knew, Paul knew, that that guy had the faith to be healed. And then Paul said, "Hey, stand up." And he did. He stood up. And just as Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And that dude, he did. And he went walking and leaping on into the temple. And if you compare that story at the Gate Beautiful to this passage in Acts chapter 14, to our text here in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus said to the man, "Your sins be forgiven thee." The common denominator is Christ. The focus is Jesus Christ. The object of our faith, or their faith, or his faith, or whoever, is Christ. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," it says in Acts. Again, if you're afraid of healing, don't be. It's in the book. If you're afraid of preachers on TV, don't be. Turn the TV off. Get your nose in the book. Open the Bible, in other words, and read it and believe it. Put your trust in God, and there's nothing too hard for God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Got a problem? Call out to God. He can hear you, and he can save you. But, in verse 2, "Your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." If you seek God, if you turn from your sin, if you try to walk close to God, he will hear you. He will answer when you call. Isaiah 58, you call and he'll say, "Here I am." But if you don't believe, if you think Christianity is a joke, and you go to church out of obligation, and you continue in your sins, then God will hide his face from you. You want to seek him? No, he's going to hide his face. He's going to hide so that even if you wanted to seek, you couldn't find him. And it says that sins in your life will make him stick his fingers in his ear. He won't even listen to you when you call. We ought to live for God, and we ought to live for God in faith. Instead of objections, instead of hearsay, instead of prevailing attitudes, maybe at your church or the other church down the road, why don't we just believe God and obey him? He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, "If you love me and you obey me, then I and the Father will come to you," in John chapter 14. Why don't we just believe him, and why don't we just obey him? He's the Lord that heals us. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." We've seen passage after passage after passage, just in this one study, fulfilled and astonished. that Jesus heals the sick everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick. Why not believe? And I'll ask it again. Why don't we just believe what we find written in the Word of God? Let's just believe it. And there's no telling what God can do in your life. All things are possible to him that believeth. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.